Now I invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would take my lips this morning and speak through them. As you've been speaking to my heart throughout this week, I pray that you would take our hearts and speak to them. Take our wills and set them on fire with such love for yourself that we cannot be, after hearing your word, the same people we were before. Holy Spirit, guide us in this time. And we pray these things, Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen. Well, this morning's sermon, I want to give you a little bit of a warning, is a strong word. It's, for me, it was kind of an in-your-face message and very convicting. So I want you to be ready this morning because I know who this message is intended for and I know how hard it is to receive it, to understand it, and to live into its truth. Now, I know this because the message is primarily directed at me. But I believe that there's something in this message for each of you this morning. So I invite you to sit tight and be prepared for God to speak. The Lord may just speak to you through the same conviction and the same insights that he used with me as I worked my way through this passage. Now here's an understatement of truth about me and the way I'm wired. I don't like to be in out-of-control situations. If you work with me, you know that. And some of you working with me saw that this morning when things weren't going the way they were supposed to, and I wasn't doing well with that. Now, at some level, we're all not real happy when things don't go the way we expect, or we're not all happy with surprises, but it's especially with me. And it translates into behavior and habits that reflect my identity as a control freak. That's the way to put it. If you talk to my kids, I always have a plan. It doesn't matter what we're doing, I've got a plan for it. Frequently they'll say, "Dad, quiet, we don't want to hear the plan, let's just go." Well, if things go as planned, I'm very content. And I can be pretty proud that things went the way I expected. But if my plan is subverted, I'm really not happy. And you witness this desire to control and my frustration when things don't go as planned. In just about every area of my life, in traffic, when I've established a certain amount of time to get someplace and either traffic isn't cooperating or the cars in front of me aren't cooperating, whether it be do-it-yourself projects, you name it. I just want things to go my way. And when they don't, I'm very easily upset. I don't go with the flow very easily. And if you look at this life philosophy that's hardwired into me, where I'm only content when things go as I desire or things go as I plan, the truth behind that behavior in my life reveals that my inner peace is largely dependent on circumstances. I'm very aware I really don't control anything at all. I know that. But that knowledge doesn't stop me from seething and sometimes exploding with frustration when things don't go the way I wanted them to or the way I expected them to. This morning's message that hit me so firmly in the face is all about God's peace. And we're going to have 3 points as we take a look at this passage from John chapter 20. The first is that God's peace is always with you. The second point, we're going to contrast the world's peace with God's shalom, his peace. And thirdly, we're going to examine the statement that shalom reveals faith. So God's peace is always with you. In the midst of my preparation for this morning, God really convicted me on how greatly I misunderstood the peace of God, the peace that God gives to his people. And we're confronted with the peace that God gives to his people in our passage. So if you have your own Bibles, turn to John chapter 20, or if you have the Blue Pew Bibles, you can turn to page 906. And in this passage, John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19, Things have not gone at all as the disciples expected. They expected Jesus to be ruling Israel as the new Messiah king. But now he's dead. He's been executed because of his claim to be Messiah, because of his claim to be the Son of God, one with the Father. He's dead. They've heard that he was alive. The women came running back to the tomb. We heard that passage last week. But they don't know what to believe. They're still strongly doubting. And that's where we find them in John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. They're behind a locked door in fear of the Jews and what might happen to them now. They don't know what to believe nor what to do next. And I imagine them in that room. They're afraid in hiding. Perhaps some are nervously talking in the corner. Perhaps others are just staring at the wall in shock or staring at the floor. Perhaps others are huddled in a corner angry about what happened. How could they do this? Perhaps some are weeping because what they hoped to be true wasn't. I believe each of you can see yourself as you respond to the unexpected in one of those reactions in that room. And there, in the midst of their anxiety, their confusion, their pain and sorrow, Jesus shows up. And what does he say to them? He stands among them and he says, "Peace to you. Shalom be with you." God's peace was with them right there in their trouble, in their sorrow, and in their confusion. And that's our first point. Jesus is always there. If you have faith in Jesus as Messiah and Savior, then he is always with you, no matter what the circumstances, speaking shalom. So he was there in their weakness and trouble. And then in the next verse, we read this, verse 20. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad. They're going from being sad in anguish to now they're happy. They're over the moon. This is the risen Lord Jesus. They were glad when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." The next verse, verse 21. Peace be with you. He's with you when you're struggling. He's with you when you're thrilled that everything's going your way. And he's with you when you're doubting. The next thing that we read in this passage is that Thomas wasn't there. And he says, "I'll never believe until I actually put my hands in his wounds, see him and touch him." Well, now it's 8 days later. You can imagine Thomas hasn't stopped talking about his doubts. And perhaps there are many others that are doubting. And we read then, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and said the same thing. "Peace, shalom to you." This peace that Jesus speaks to his followers is not like the world's peace. The peace that the world offers, the peace that we know in our experience, is entirely dependent on circumstances. It's dependent on circumstances going well with no surprises. The world's peace, contentment, ease, comfort, no fear or worry. It's all right in the world. That's the peace that the Lord tries to sell us. It's primarily a lack of hostilities, a lack of struggle, a lack of fighting, peace from a war. That's the world's peace. And this worldly peace disappears when circumstances turn. And they inevitably do. This world is not perfect. I don't have to tell you that. When circumstances turn, the peace is gone. It's fleeting. It's nowhere to be found. Now, contrasting with that is God's shalom, God's peace. It's not just a lack of dispute or a lack of struggle, but this is an all-encompassing state of being that transcends one's circumstances. Now, of course, in looking up the definition for shalom, I went to Wikipedia. And Wikipedia says this: to say joy and peace, meaning a state of affairs without a struggle, that does not begin to describe the sense of the term shalom. Completeness seems to be at the center of that. It's much more than just contentment or well-being. Shalom is blessing from God. It's sourced outside of you, sourced outside of the world. It's a gift that can only be received from God. And shalom encompasses completeness, soundness, contentment, wholeness, regardless of the circumstances, of things going well or going poorly. It's a state of being. It's who you are. And it's always there. In joy and in sorrow, there is shalom. In ease and in pain, in contentment and in turmoil, God's shalom is there for his people. Now, his disciples had heard Jesus teach about God's shalom and that it was different than the world's peace. We hear that in John 14, verse 27. Peace. And I want you to hear in this Jesus saying, shalom. Shalom I leave with you. My shalom I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. So let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. My peace that I give you is not like the world's. So do not be troubled, do not be afraid. Paul builds on this theme in Philippians 4. He's writing to the first century church. And Paul, writing to those who have faith in Jesus, those who believe in Jesus, Paul writes this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, the shalom of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's in the midst of those two verses that the Lord hit me with his proverbial 2x4 upside my head. And it came to me in the form of a question. If by faith in Jesus Christ, I have his new life, I have his shalom, then why am I so anxious? Why am I so easily unsettled when things don't go the way I expect? Why am I so discontented, frustrated, and angry when things don't go my way? If in Christ I have the shalom. Our first point, if your faith is in Jesus, you have his shalom, and he's always with you. And the second point, God's shalom is way bigger and way deeper than anything the world can offer. It's not dependent on circumstances, and that brings us to the third point. God's shalom, either its existence or its absence, will reveal your faith. The presence of God's shalom will reveal and reflect to the world a person's faith in God, or the lack of shalom will reveal a lack of faith. Shalom isn't a feeling. As I've worked through this passage, it's more of a state of mind. It's something that we have, something that we are when we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. And in fact, what I've learned is shalom reflects a decision, a daily decision, not to trust in the control or the power in the world, but to trust in the God who's in control. If I truly believe he's in control, then I can claim his shalom and his peace. It's a daily decision to trust him, to choose not to be anxious. Folks, in life, we will be anxious. Jesus sweat blood when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane because he was anxious and fearful. We will be anxious. We will be afraid. We will be concerned. We will be undone. But in the midst of that, you can still have his shalom, have his peace. And having that shalom will reflect who sits on the throne of your heart. In my own experience, when things are out of control, I jump in and try to control them. And very quickly, as I flail about and don't succeed in making anything any better, I have to say, God, I've stepped in again. I need to trust you that you're on your throne. I'll get out of the way again. Now guide me in what's next, because I am afraid, because I don't understand. Whether you have shalom or not will reflect, is Jesus on the throne of your heart, or have you taken the throne back? And this is where I was convicted and undone as I prepared for this message, because my struggle to control, my frustration at the unexpected, my anger when things don't go away, God showed me that's an indicator of where my faith is. That I'm not trusting God in those things. I'm trying to control them. I trust myself. I always have great faith in God when things go well. Praise God for how well things are going. Sing his praises. But when things don't go well, and I'm confused and frustrated, I said things loudly, but they weren't praises to God. God's shalom here, his gift to you and to me, is not contingent on circumstances or on anything, but on faith in the Lord who gives it. And I was undone as I realized my own lack of faith and trust in him, as that revealed my efforts to control, my discontentment. And I had to confess, Lord, I have not been trusting you. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said this, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have shalom, peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In Christ, Jesus doesn't promise everything to go well. He doesn't promise that things will be smooth and you will have a great time. He promises shalom, and he promises that we will experience everything that he did in life. Tribulation, hardship, persecution, famine, struggle. But take heart. He has overcome the world, and in him you can still have shalom. God's shalom reveals faith, and God's shalom will mark God's people. That's something that sets us apart from everyone else around us. Shalom, no matter what the circumstances, is countercultural. And it's not natural in our human nature. Shalom in the midst of surprise, turmoil, persecution, sickness, tragedy. Having a peace in the midst of that will reflect to others, wait a second, they have something I don't. When we flail about and try to control and fix things, we look normal. Everybody freaks out at some point, but it's when we realize, I can't do this, I have to depend on him, and we begin to have a sense of peace amidst the storm, that others will go, what is it with you? God's shalom will mark those who live with faith in him. John 20, verse 31, the last verse in our passage today. John wrote down these words. "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Only in Christ is shalom to be found. Nowhere else. No matter how perfect you orchestrate your life, there will not be peace apart from Jesus Christ. No matter how many gadgets or money or bank accounts or whatever it is that you're pursuing after because you think that will give you peace, it will fall flat apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way in John 14. He only is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one will experience God's shalom apart from Jesus Christ. Only in Christ will true peace, shalom, be found. And this is how we're to be known, set apart as God's people, just like the disciples. Peace in all circumstances. The world lies to us and says that we can find peace if we can control or have whatever it is we think we need. The world's lie is that you don't have peace because you fail, because you're not good enough, because you haven't done enough. And that's a lie straight from hell. And that's a lie that I have labored under for most of my life. That when I fail, I lose his peace because I'm not good enough. Whatever you try to find peace in the world, it will always leave you empty apart from Jesus Christ. And it's a gift of grace from God that we are his chosen, his beloved, and we have his shalom because of who he is, not because of who we are. And in Christ, we are his new creation, and in Christ, we have his new life. The good news in Jesus is that God broke through with the incarnation, being born in flesh, bringing a much deeper shalom to his people. All those who believe in Jesus Christ, God the Son resurrected from the dead, don't just have peace, but shalom. These last 6 months, as I've been in this process with the Diocese of Pittsburgh, have been extraordinarily difficult for me because I'm not in control. God has spoken clearly. I want you to stay in this process, and you have to trust me with the result. And I have chafed against that every day. But I want to figure it out. I need to know what to expect. And God has said, why won't you trust me and stay present to what's right in front of you? And this is the lesson he's been teaching me. That even when it's out of control and I don't know what's next, I will have his shalom if I depend on him and if I trust in him. I mistakenly thought through most of my life that if I followed God, he'd make my path easy and take my burdens away. Now, that may sound like scripture, but that's a twisting of scripture, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. God promises to make your path straight. His path will be straight, not to make it easy. He also promises that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We will have burdens in this world, but when we put our faith in him, he carries it with us. He knows the burden because it's his burden and he walks with us. We will have tribulation, but we can take heart because he has overcome the world. I have learned daily, multiple times each day, as I struggle with just the little things that undo me. Okay, I'm anxious, I'm upset. Lord, I need to trust you in this and then just do the next thing. It's an ongoing conversation. This is also where we need community, Christian community around us, because as I said, you're all going to freak out at different points when things are out of control. Sometimes we need another brother or sister in Christ to say, okay, yes, it is out of control. Yes, you are fearful, anxious, afraid, but God is who he says he is, and I'm here with you. So what's the next thing? We need community. And apart from community, we will be lost, doubting, anxious, and fearful. I've regularly prayed in these last few months, I trust you alone with the future, Lord, so help me be present to the life around me. I waste more time working on contingencies so that I don't make any mistakes, that I miss life around me half the time. Lord, help me to trust you with what's next and not try to figure it out, and to walk in faith and to be a light for your truth, a light for your shalom, your peace in each conversation that I have. As I said, you will be anxious, you will be fearful, you may be all of those things this morning. And I want to give you the three questions that I've been asking myself regularly. When I feel out of control, I don't like it all the way God's working out my plan. Well, it's not my plan, it's His. I don't like this, God. The three questions that I ask myself that bring me back to His shalom. The first one is God on His throne? The second is Jesus alive at God's hand right now praying for me? Is the Holy Spirit with me? So let me ask you, is God on His throne?
Yes.
Is Jesus alive at God's right hand praying for you?
Yes.
Is the Holy Spirit with you?
Yes.
Then we can trust Him and we can have His shalom. And then we will reflect His love for the glory of His name. May each of you know God's love for you, the shalom He gives you, all for the glory of His name. Amen.